No freedom in faking. This is part of the series that Holy Ghost is teaching on the practical aspects of knowing Him, communing with Him, learning to hear His voice, learning to recognize what it is that He is saying, learning how to be led by Him. And when He says that there is no freedom in faking, He means very simply that be yourself. With me, be yourself. You don't have to pretend you're someone you're not. You don't have to declare scriptures to Him. You don't have to prove that you're theologically sound. You don't have to compete with other believers. You don't have to pretend you're a good little girl or boy in order to impress Him. You simply need to be yourself. Now, we are called living epistles that are not written in ink, but by the Spirit of God. Not on tablets of stone, but of the heart, the flesh. And if we are to be written by Him, we have to open up and allow Him to write upon us. We are not in charge of writing those epistles. Our only point in that relationship is that we yield to Him the pen, to the Spirit of the living God, and we allow Him to write what He deems fit upon us as He transforms us from glory to glory in the image of Christ Jesus. Now, we can't do this by willing it, by hoping maybe everything will go our way, by praying enough scripture that it's going to force heaven and earth to move for us, by pretending we're not upset or disappointed when what we've prayed for hasn't eventuated, by holding back our passion and our emotions from Him. This is not going to give a genuine relationship any chance of surviving. If you are with a spouse and you never tell them when you're upset and you always hold back your emotions and you always clip your wings, so to speak, and not reveal who you are and what you feel, how much depth will you have in that relationship, in that marriage? It is the same with Holy Ghost. He is a person. And He's very capable of dealing with your feelings. We might have trouble with our feelings. Our emotions might overwhelm us. They might scare us. We may try to suppress them, run from them, do something other than experience them, deny them. He has no problem with your emotions. He can very easily hear what you have to say about whatever's going on with you. And in fact, I'm going to give you again examples because it is just such a helpful tool to see it in a context of something that may have occurred for someone. So, for example, you've prayed for something and you've believed and you've been filled with faith about it. You're really expectant and hoping. You've believed His word. You believe the personal words He's given to you. You perhaps have had even other people give you words. But it doesn't look like it's happening. In fact, something happens that looks like it's the exact opposite. And it's happened again and again and again, this exact opposite. What do? Do you pretend it's okay and just pull out your Bible and get another scripture and start declaring away? Do you call somebody and say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I'm faltering in faith or I'm scared or I'm worried. I'm not saying that there are times when we need that. We do. We need backup from other believers. We need support. We're to encourage each other, exhort each other, correct each other, support each other. But where can we go? Who is the ultimate one who knows how to handle what's going on with us? And who can even explain the process? And if He doesn't explain the process, because we wouldn't understand, or it isn't the time for us to understand, or there's more for us to learn in another way, then we learn that we can trust Him. If we hold back who we are and how we genuinely feel, how will we ever know Him? Because when you're in a relationship of any sort that has meaning and depth, and a relationship that you truly care about, you do not deny who you are. You do not pretend. You do not wear a mask. You share who you are. And as you do, that relationship deepens. It is the same with Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is a person. He is a person. Now, one of the things that believers tend to do is to use Scripture as a band-aid, to slap a Scripture on a difficulty, a problem, a dilemma, a pain, a wound, a disappointment, and to try to bandage it up without dealing with it. But the truth is, he says to boldly come into his throne of grace for help and mercy in time of need. We do not need to hold back who we are with God. Jesus Christ made a way. The veil was torn, and union with God is now not only accessible, but is freely given to those who believe in Jesus. We don't need to pretend anymore. We don't need to put on a brave face with God. We don't need to act as if we have a stiff upper lip and it doesn't matter to us that our child died, the healing hasn't come, someone has rejected us, we've been slandered or persecuted, whatever the issue is. To pretend that is to say to God, I can't trust you with me. I can't trust you with my heart. I can't trust you with my feelings. Is that what we mean to say to him? Jesus had a myriad of emotions. He was angry, incredibly angry at times. He fiercely angry. He was deeply hurt, deeply saddened at other times. He didn't have some kind of one-dimensional attitude to life or way that he walked. He knows what we're like. He knows our weaknesses. It says that he was tempted in every way that we would be, and he understands us. If that's true, then the Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit who lives in us, does he not too understand us? Deeply? Truly? In our innermost being? That we don't have to pretend we're something we're not in order to please him? It does not please him when we pretend. He wants us to know that. He wants all believers to know that. Please stop pretending with me. It does nothing for me. It does not please me. It does not delight me. And it keeps you a prisoner of the enemy, because you're denying what's really going on. Do you know when you're with a spouse, a husband and wife, and you've had a difficulty together? Perhaps they've disappointed you. Perhaps you've disappointed them. And there's a barrier there. There's a wedge between you. And you never talk about it. What happens to that wedge? Does it grow smaller or does it increase? We all know the answer. If that issue is not addressed and we do not clear the air with our spouse, we will draw further and further and further away from them. It is the same with Holy Ghost. So if something has happened to you where you are very hurt, very wounded, perhaps even confused, and what you believed he had promised hasn't happened, or in fact the opposite has happened, what do you do with that? Do you then take the band-aid of the Scripture and slap it on it and say, well, I'm going to believe this anyway, even though your heart is broken? Or do we realize that the Bible, it's not just a love letter. He's shown me this in a vision. It is the most incredible gift. He showed me this picture of a Valentine heart of where candy in a box. So it's the shape of a heart, and the candy would go into that heart. But it was only the box, empty box. And he stuck the empty box in the shape of a Valentine heart in the middle of the Bible. And he said, anywhere you read my word, you will find my heart. The word of God is his heart, as Jesus was his heart, as the Spirit is the gift of his heart. We do not use Scripture as a tool in a mechanical way, as some kind of formula, the declaration machine. It is his heart. And if we read it through this Holy Spirit, who is the only one who can wield the Word of God, for it is his sword to wield, then we will know it is the heart of God within that word. Let's go to the practical again, because that's a really helpful way of understanding how to be with him. In times of trouble, in times of pain, let's talk about when we believe he's disappointed us. Now, I'm going to give a personal for instance, because I think it's a good demonstration of how close you can be to Holy Spirit, how much he tolerates, and how much he loves us. So there was a time when I had prayed for a particular thing. It meant a great deal to me, and I thought I was in the process of receiving it. And something occurred, and it made it look like that promise was not going to manifest. And in fact, it looked like it was being taken away from me. I was furious. I was hurt. I was devastated. And I wasn't going to pretend with Holy Spirit and say, "That's all right, Lord. I'll be fine. It's obviously a test. You know what you're doing." No, none of that. We are not to do that with him. If we feel that, that's fine. We can say that. If we have an understanding going, "Oh, this is a test," or "This is something that my faith is going to grow and be refined through," that's fine. But if you don't feel that, don't fake it. Because there's no freedom in faking. Pretense will give you nothing. You will have a shallow relationship with God. So what I did is I ignored him. I was so angry, I didn't even want to talk to Holy Spirit, who is my constant companion. And I could hear him say to me, "I love you." And I just turned away. I could hear him say, "I miss you." I kept turning away. It was as if I had turned my head. And I think I actually physically did turn my head. And then I heard him say, "Are we getting a divorce?" And my response was, "No, not a divorce, a trial separation." And at that moment, we both laughed. That trial separation lasted for about a few minutes. What amazed me about it was that we both could laugh at the same time about an issue that was very deep, very hurtful for me. And yet I knew, by the center of my being, that he was for me. And that I could even ignore him. And this is not a suggestion, let's ignore God. Let's ignore Holy Ghost. There's been multiple centuries of Holy Spirit being ignored. We don't need to continue in that. What I am saying is, let's be that real in relationship where if we are that hurt, we can be who we are with him. We can be ourselves. That's what he wants. Be yourself with me. Stop determining what I want you to be or how I want you to be. What's presentable? What's acceptable? Ask me and you may find out. So if you are in a distressful situation, pour out your heart. He says to, in Psalm 62:8, he says, "Trust in the Lord always. Pour out your heart to him, you people, for he is a refuge for you." He is our refuge. When do you need a refuge? A refuge is a place where you go when you are desperate, when there's no other place to go, when you need shelter so badly that you might even be facing danger and you need to be hidden away. He's that place. He isn't the one we're supposed to run from. He's the one we're supposed to run to. We have to get this right. Because there are going to be times coming ahead for all believers that if they don't have a relationship with Holy Spirit and don't understand communing and being one with God and how to know his voice, hear him clearly, be led by him, they are going to falter. It is going to be so difficult as times progress. And even if it's not in our time, it will be near enough that it'll be in our children's time. And our children need to be taught this. So we must learn first. how to have a living relationship with the living God and stop play-acting with Him, pretending we're goody-two-shoes, pretending we don't mind when something devastates us, pretending it's okay. He is the one you can pour out your heart to. That means the things, even when you want to blame Him. It doesn't matter, not because I'm saying be disrespectful to God, but be real. He says, if you are real with me, I can be real with you, because we're one. But if you are faking it and pretending you're somebody you're not, you cannot touch me, because I am truth Himself. We cannot control Him. And we are not meant to control ourselves in the sense that we fake what we're feeling or what matters to us. Imagine being able to go to that special spot, wherever it is. And if you don't have a special spot, it's not a mandatory prescription. It's simply, it makes it easier for you to have that time alone with Him. You can talk to Him 24/7. I do. You can wash the dishes. You can drive the car. You can go to the post office. You can be having communion all the time, dialogue all the time. But what is important is, especially when you're in a distressful situation, something's happened that's devastated you, disappointed you, hurt you. If you feel He is not the first port of call, He's not your refuge, but you've got to need a stiff upper lip and you've got to act strong and be strong, you're a Christian for crying out loud. If you think that's what He's expecting of you, you've missed what Jesus did. Because He gave all of Himself for us. Now we give all of ourselves to Him. And this is the wonder of God. He doesn't just tolerate us. Look what He says in John 17, 20. I do not pray for these alone, this is Jesus speaking, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He is saying that we, those who were to come, the ones that hadn't been born yet, that through all of what the disciples would do in the future, we all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That means we are in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And He goes on in 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. We're one as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And because Holy Spirit isn't mentioned here by name, the Father and the Son cannot be one without the Spirit, because they're one in spirit. And then in 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I remember when I first read that scripture, not when I was a new Christian, and I wish I had. It was years later, and I was astonished. The Father loves me the same as Jesus? There is no limit to His love for Jesus. What does that mean? There is no limit to His love for us that are His. And if that is true, which it is, do we not think that pouring out our hearts, being real with Him, being genuine with Him, is not His heart's desire? If you love someone with your whole being, do you want them to compromise who they are, pretend who they are, hide who they are from you? No, you want to know all of them, even the parts that may not be as attractive as others. You want to know them. That's how He feels about us. And then in 26, John 17:26, Jesus finishes and I have declared to them your name. He's speaking about the Father. And will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the wonder of God. So who are we hiding from? The one that loved us so much he gave himself? What do we think he's going to do to us? Torture us? Torment us? Berate us? No! That's what the enemy does. The enemy is trying to convince you not to be real with Holy Spirit. First he'll convince you Holy Spirit isn't real. Then he'll try to convince if you've gotten past that one, then he'll try to convince you that you're not allowed to be real with him. Heaven forbid. Oh no, that's not right. That's naughty. You shouldn't do that. And if he can't get you there, he'll tell you that you can't hear from him anyway. But one of the best things that Holy Ghost told me this week that I thought was, it was funny, it was cheeky, because Holy Ghost is cheeky. He's not this stiff upper lip, straight-laced God. He has a sense of humor. He made us. We're made in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have senses of humor. And one of the things he said to me this week that I found really helpful is when the enemy says to you, you can't hear from God, all you have to say is, well, if I can hear you this clearly, surely I can hear God. Do you see how that takes the charge out of it? The lie? And that's what you can do. You can go to Holy Spirit and he can tell you things like that that you will be able to use as weapons against the lies of the enemy. That's how personal he is. We don't need to fake it with him. We need to get real with him. We need to be ourselves with him. And once we do, he is able to pour in the treasures of his wisdom. Because we're not trying to be the ones who are wise. We're asking him. We're humbling ourselves before his mighty hand, saying, I don't know what to do. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm scared. I'm devastated. And he goes, good, now I can exalt you. But if we try through pride, through fear, through false teaching, through deception, to be stronger than we really are, and denying what he can give us, we won't be given what he wants to give. He has so much more than we could ever imagine, even here on earth. And I'm not talking about having some kind of paradise where everything goes your way. I'm talking about having a living union with God himself, where every moment of every day you know you're not alone. And every moment of every day you know you're loved. And every moment of every day, you know he is hedging you in so that you don't go to the right or the left. And you learn to submit to that hedging because you know it's for your protection and your safety. And it's done from love, not to as a dictator, but as an adoring father. This is the God, believers, this is the God, the one who made the trillions and billions of galaxies. This is the God who lives in you and who died for you and who wants to have communion with you so that you can live.